anyway, so yesterday we go to the doctor for my knee, and she decided she had to have some fucking Starbucks because she's a fucking addict.
Yeah, she does. And you know what's crazy about Starbucks? They're not even the best coffee. We live in a state, or we live in a city, where coffee is one of our things.
Coffee and beer. Yep.
Yeah. And Starbucks is like the McDonald's of coffee.
I know. And so she goes in and she orders this weird concoction of shit. And one of the things she said was she wanted it blonde. And I was like, what? She's like, oh yeah, that's just what they say for light. Yeah. And I was like, don't you think that's a bit racist? She's like, what do you mean? I said, well, coffee of color doesn't have any nicknames. It's not ebony or caramel or anything. It's just coffee.
Or black.
She's like, yeah, I mean, really black. I mean, it can't be brunette or something like that. And so I asked the guy, and the guy was at the window, was like, what? Coffee of color? What? I was like, hey, man. I'm just trying to look out for everybody in this new age, man. You know, everybody got to have something, man. Got to be equal rights for everybody. So I think you need to get on the horn, call your boy, whatever his name is, and let him know that you got a customer complaining about blonde coffee, the white privilege coffee. I'm tired of this stuff, man. I'm tired of white privilege. And he was trying so hard not to laugh, but
okay, he knew you were joking.
Well, of course, how could I not be? I mean,
hey,
I,
man, you never know.
you think somebody could take? See, I was telling Stephanie that in the 90s, somebody would just say, "Sir, drink your coffee and shut the hell up."
Oh yeah,
and that'd have been the end of that. Okay, I was just making fun, you know. But he had to actually answer me, and he was like, "Well, you know, we're trying, you know, to make everything, you know, equal for everybody, and we're trying to make everybody happy." And I'm like, well, you need to work harder, man, because blonde coffee ain't gonna cut it, man. You need to have some caramel coffee, you need to have some ebony coffee, and then I was thinking in my head, some Samoan coffee, some Indian with the dot on the forehead coffee.
On the forehead. You mean East Indian coffee, you mean?
Whatever. It's either dot on the forehead or Indians. I mean, you gotta separate the two. Okay.
And it's not Indian here, it's native.
Whatever, man. Native, Indian, it's the same thing, man. It's the same thing.
Okay, black, Jamaican.
Yeah, we're all black.
Nigerian, same thing.
And I'm going to sit on the floor Indian style and fuck all of you, okay?
Oh, Jesus. We're out the gate. We're just starting with this.
Yeah, fuck all of you. Indian style on the floor.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And then we're going to play Smear the Queer. You got it? Right, people?
Oh, not we can't have 2 weeks of queer talk. Enough.
Yeah, well, that was my little story.
Jesus Christ. So other than your doctor's appointment, what's been going on? Now, just right out the gate, I'm going to tell everybody, this is going to be a lot shorter show. I have a lot of things pressing, and Marcel had some pressing stuff yesterday, so this is the only time we had a chance to get down and actually do an episode, so sorry it's a little shorter. Next week will be a little better.
I started watching Goliath. Not what bad. It's Billy Bob Thornton's Amazon show.
Oh, is he a lawyer or something on that show?
Yeah, he's a pretty much a drunken lawyer who has to get back into the game because of this one case that kind of hit him in the face. And it's not bad. I mean, it really isn't. I mean, it took a few episodes before you realize what a badass lawyer his character is supposed to be. But it worked out. You know, I'm enjoying it. I'm on season two. Now he's trying to help one of the, because he lives in a hotel, like a cheap hotel, actually.
Oh.
And I didn't know you could live in cheap hotels, but he has an entire floor.
Oh, people do it all the time.
Yeah, I didn't know you could actually pull. I mean, I know you can in nicer hotels, but not.
There is currently, in fact, I was reading about in the Willamette week just a couple of days ago. There's currently like three motels that are in Portland that are kind of subsidized by the city to like help people either on their way to being homeless or the last stop to try and get out from being homeless. It's like, but you know, people do it in hotels, motels and hotels. I mean, there's a lot of motels around here, like in the, you know, like past felony flats that, that have, you know, daily, weekly and monthly rates. So it's quite a bit. It happens quite often, more often than you think.
Well, because I know Michael Thompson used to play for the Blazers and the Lakers. He lived in a hotel when he was here in Portland, but he lived in like the Hilton.
I think I looked that up. He lived in like it was right downtown, not the Hilton. It was another one.
Was it the Benson?
I think so. It was a nice one. I mean, we don't have any 5-star hotels in Portland. But we have 4-star, and he was in one of those.
Yeah, the Benson is as close as you're going to get in Portland to having like a truly, you know, nice hotel is the Benson. That's where the Lakers stay, and all everybody who's anybody, they stay in the Benson Hotel.
Yeah.
And I think that's where he lived. I thought it was a Hilton, but I knew it was a nice hotel. And he said he did it because he didn't want to pay property taxes. He didn't know how long he was going to be here in Portland. And he said, it's also nice that, you know, they clean your room. I don't have to clean it. If I want something to eat, it's right downstairs. And he said, it's just convenient. He said, I don't know why more athletes don't do that. And then buy the homes when you retire or you get hurt and can't play no more.
Or if you have a contract that's going to, you know, be like, yeah, after I have like a 9-year contract, I'm in my 30s. I'm going to retire here.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're a single guy, I would totally do that.
I would too. I was thinking, there's no way in hell I'm buying a house on my first stop as a 19-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to live in a nice hotel and save on that money because I don't know if I'm going to get traded. I don't know anything about my future at 19. So why am I going to put my roots down with a house? That's just stupid. You know, and then I have to sell it when I move or just have another house and I'm paying a mortgage on because these athletes are stupid. None of them buy their houses. They all have mortgages, which is retarded to me. And I'm like, why would you not buy it? It's $7 million. You make $45 million a year. Buy the damn house, you know?
Right.
Just pay your property taxes. And guess what? If you run into trouble with the IRS, you own the house. They can't take it. The bank can't take it, you know? And they don't seem to get that. They never understand that you buy it rather than pay a mortgage. Like Shaquille O'Neal's got like 8 houses and he pays mortgages on all 8 of them. And I'm like, God damn, you're an idiot. Oh, and I also talked to my niece. She's 2 now. And my brother's trying to train her to wear a mask because apparently even 2-year-olds have to wear them on planes now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And she goes about 30 feet before she like starts to rip it off. And I'm like, what do you expect? She's 2. And he's like, yeah, well, we're going to have to give her melatonin or something on the plane when we come up there so she'll sleep.
Right, right.
I'm like, well, you could just get some whiskey and rubber gums, you know, put a finger through rubber gums.
No, Jesus.
Here's what he was like. No, I can't do that. I can't do that, Martha. I was like, why not?
Because it's not the 40s anymore.
I know, right? Right?
And melatonin works way better. I mean, Eloise is like me. She's one of those when she was like what I was when I was a kid and like me now, where I can get to sleep. It's just hard to stay asleep. And I give her melatonin like an hour before she's to go to bed, knocks her out every time. More often than not, she's asking, can I go to bed like early? Melatonin is perfect. Just 5 to 10 milligrams, depending on the size of the kid. Out like a light in under an hour.
Wow, it doesn't work for me at all. I've taken so much melatonin and it just does not do anything. Man.
If you do a lot of it, it'll screw up. You can't do it all the time because if you do it all the time, it'll screw up your natural ability to go to sleep, and then you get resistant to sleeping. You have to like wait till you're exhausted before you get to that point.
Yeah, like I was hooked on Advil PM for years because I couldn't get to sleep in time to be functional for my job that started at like 6 a.m. So it's like I'm a night owl. So I had to take Advil PM and I went to the doctor for the first time. This was years ago. And he was like, hey, your liver is a little messed up. I was like, yeah, I know. It's from the Advil PM. He's like, what's that got to do with anything? I was like, there's stuff in there that messes with your liver. Look it up. He looked it up. Oh, my God, you're right. And I'm thinking, I'm paying you. This is retarded. But yeah, I knew what I was getting into, but it was the only thing that could help me sleep.
Damn, if it was affecting your liver, you're taking way too much.
No, I was taking it for too long. It was 5 days a week, six days a week.
Oh my God, dude.
I was taking 2-3 of them right before bed so I could go to sleep. Otherwise, I would not sleep. And I'd be ready to go to sleep at about two in the morning. I gotta be up in 3 hours. And that was just not cutting it. I was like, I gotta find a way to go to sleep. And it was either that or be a blackout drunk. I couldn't think of anything in between. So
blackout drunk is even worse.
Oh, I'm sure
you're doing all that liver damage plus damage a bunch of other shit.
I know.
Different from my week. I got a new tattoo. Mm-hmm. I got a tattoo of Frankenstein on my left arm. It's a portrait. It's pretty good too.
You got the doctor tattooed on your arm?
Frankenstein's monster. Sorry.
There you go. Be specific. You're not a moron.
But I'm getting a whole sleeve on my left arm of like all the Universal monsters. Like I'm getting the Bride, and then the Mummy, then Dracula, then Wolfman, and then the Creature from Black Lagoon. And then in between all those intertwined is going to be like a film strip, like an unraveled film reel.
And then you go put Tom Cruise somewhere in there?
No.
No? Really? Wow.
Yeah, that's right. I'm
gonna put he started the Mummy, man. You got to pay
No.
The Lord and Master himself.
I'm going through all the Universal from, you know, the 30s, 20s, 30s, 40s.
I was thinking you got to put Tom Cruise on there, man. Scientology, he made everybody want to go see the Mummy. I mean, it was a smash hit because, you know, everybody wants to see him run every goddamn movie he's in. Even the one he's in when he's like a wheelchair, somehow he managed to Forrest Gump out of that wheelchair in Born on the 4th of July. Fuck Tom Cruise. Sorry.
I like Tom Cruise. And that movie was a horrific. It was a mess. The movie was a total failure. He only pulls that shit with directors that'll let him. Like he didn't pull that. Well, he didn't have the power, but he didn't pull that shit with Oliver Stone.
No,
and he didn't do that shit with what's his face? God damn it! What is that director?
All I know is I'm glad he didn't get the role of Iron Man. I couldn't imagine what that movie would have been like if he had gotten his mitts onto it.
Yeah.
Started rewriting everything. It's like, that's why Ed Norton got booted as the Hulk, because he's hard to work with and wants to rewrite everything. Like,
yeah, he had a very famous fight with the director of American History X. That movie was a total... that movie that he did with the... what was that director's name?
Avery Brooks was the star. I don't remember the director's name.
Avery Brooks wasn't the star of American History X.
Well, it's
he was in the movie. He wasn't the star of the movie.
Hey, Captain Sisko was the star.
But it was bad. He was a bigger star than the director, and he kind of bullied him into, you know, that director. He just
Tony K.
Yeah. Kind of killed that guy's career.
Did he really?
It was a famous fight. It was a famous fight. The guy didn't work much after that.
It just doesn't surprise me, man. Edward Norton just seems like he's one of them dudes, man, that you just... And I don't mean this the way it sounds, but I kind of do. He's one of them dudes that takes acting, I think, too seriously.
Oh, no, he's very...
I mean? It's like, I understand you're into your profession, but it's like, dude, you're not that guy.
He's very good, but very pretentious. And, he's kind of like Forrest Whitaker. Every time I see him talk about acting, I want to throttle him. He's always into, to become, you know, an actor. And it's like, shut up. You're not doing brain surgery, dude. You're playing pretend.
Thank you. That's what I say. You're playing pretend for a lot of money. Just do the best you can and go home. You're not the dictator. You're not the head guy from, the King of Scotland? You're not him. Stop. Yeah. You're not him. Just stop. I hate that. I've always hated method actors. I've always hated. I couldn't imagine what it'd be like to be on the set with a method actor for months on end. I just couldn't imagine the torture it would be to be with on the set with someone, see him 15 hours a day, and they ask you to call him by the character's name. Fuck you, dude. Fuck you. I just couldn't do it. I could not do it. Oh, it'd be awful.
Well, hey, since we're talking about acting and playing pretend, let's talk about Loki. What do you think of the show overall? Today is Wednesday, so it'll be the third episode. There's only 6 episodes coming out. Mm-hmm. What do you think so far? At least the first 2 episodes.
I liked it. I like the fact that Hiddleston is Loki is playing the time people. I think he really is 10 steps ahead of them. I think he's going to. Something he does is going to cause everything to go to hell. The timelines to go to hell. I don't know how he's going to do it, but.
Well, we know this is going to somehow jive with Doctor Strange. And we know it's going to like jive a little bit with Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Because we know they're dealing with the multiverse with that. I really like this show. This one, like most of the Marvel stuff, you know, you're kind of just chomping at the bit, can't wait for it to start. This one, I was like, I'm, you know, excited to see it, but I wasn't like, it wasn't something I asked for. And now that we're like 2 episodes in, I think it's going to be, I'm glad it's there. It's really good. I'm liking it more than I thought I would.
Mm-hmm.
And it's obvious we need this story it's going to just push us right into, you know, Multiverse of Madness and the next Spider-Man. Cause both deal with the multiverse and they deal with, the next stage of, Marvel films really.
Yeah. I mean, it's getting good. I just really want to know where it's going because I was surprised that the other one was a girl. I was like, wait.
Oh, yeah. You remember Lady Loki from... I'm not sure this is Lady Loki. It might be someone... because Lady Loki is in the comics. Just like, you know, we got Lady Thor. Mm-hmm. And so there is a Lady Loki. This is from the comics. But I don't know if this is her. For starters, her hair isn't black. And remember they were shown that you saw that brief scene with all the other variant Lokis. All of them had black hair.
Yeah, they did.
So I, you know, and this is Marvel, so it's not always as cut and dry as we think. You and I always pontificate on what we think is kind of happening, and we're probably usually around 10% of the time we hit our mark.
Oh, because, I know.
They always go away. You don't think that's kind of their thing. They kind of let you believe, especially people who read the comics or read the comics. And then, you know, then it's like just a nugget of what you thought it was going to be. So I'm not 100% sure. I was like, when I saw her, I figured it was going to be Lady Loki after the first episode, because one, we saw all the different variants he was looking at. And if it was just strictly just him, they would have shown him. They would have showed that reveal instead of just, you know, in the shadows. I was like, I bet you this is Lady Loki, or at least, you know, what most people aren't expecting.
Yeah, it's somebody else. I saw a video on the internet where, and I think I sent it to you, where a guy, one of those nerds, pontificated on what he thought it was, and it wasn't Lady Loki, it was somebody else. Or a combination of different characters, and he broke it down pretty well. And I just can't remember what he said and who he said she's supposed to be, but she's supposed to be a real major player and like changing the universe somehow. I thought it was gonna be the goddess of death at first. I was like, oh, it's gonna be Helena, you know. And I was like, oh wait, no they already established that's not his daughter. They've already established that in this Marvel line that Helena's not his daughter. That's Odin's son's.
Yeah, that's Helena would be his sister,
right?
In the cinematic universe,
right? That's what I mean. That's what I said to myself. So no, wait, that's not his daughter in the cinemas, and that's just in the comic books where that's his daughter. And I was like, oh, okay, got it. But then when they talked about her, I was like, I have no idea who this woman even is. I also know that I thought something was, I thought this was interesting. The mustache Owen Wilson is wearing is an homage to, I want to say his name is Greenwald. He's one of the Marvel creators of, I want to say Loki.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I heard someone say that too, but I didn't know that. I would have never thought of that.
No, I wouldn't even care. I didn't even care. I thought that was just stupid to tell.
I just thought, okay. Yeah, I just thought they made a choice to give him a mustache, or he asked, "Can I have a mustache?" Just something different, so we don't just think, "Oh, you know." And it's kind of it's nice to see because he took a break from acting for a while. It's nice to see Owen Wilson again. I like him.
And he's grown a little bit. He's not the same surfer doofus I remember from the 90s. You know, he's not that guy anymore. And I'm glad to see that I actually enjoy him acting now. I never did before. I've always liked him. Really? Enemy Lines? You really like that movie?
No, I didn't watch that movie, but I like that actor. I like him. I liked him in Shanghai, the movies he did with
Jackie Chan. That was
good. With Jackie Chan. I don't like the movie, but I liked his character in it. It was the guy that, you know, in I Spy with Eddie Murphy. It wasn't a good movie, but I liked him in it. But Owen Wilson was that actor that, well, you know, he leaned in to just being different versions of himself. You know, we've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. At this point, people, if you listen to our podcast, take a drink, but I'm going to say it again. There's like a handful of actors that just play themselves.
Yep.
As, you know, Denzel's one.
Yep.
Anthony Hopkins is one.
Yeah.
Jack Nicholson is one. Mm-hmm. Another one, Keanu Reeves. And, last but not least,
Ben Affleck.
No, not Ben Affleck. Affleck, I don't know.
Affleck sucks. Sorry,
I think he doesn't suck. I think he, because when you need him to do a good job, he does a good job. Jeff Goldblum. Thank you. That's what.
Yeah, he's the him and Denzel are the most famous.
They're myself. Great actors.
Yeah,
but they have like a very very small range.
Yeah.
And
they do.
No, they're Ben not, Affleck. Yeah. Look at Ben Affleck in The Town. He was great in that. He was great in where he played the second banana to Matt Damon in
You talking about the math movie?
Yeah, what is that? The director Finding Forrester. Yeah.
Forrester.
He lived in there, you know, the director Gus Van Sant still lives Portland native. Still lives here.
Yeah, William Hurt lives here too.
Yeah.
I did not know. That's came out of left field, but he's also in Goliath. So that's the reason why I brought that up. It just hit me. Like, yeah, William Hurt still lives here too. I think Danny Glover lives here somewhere.
Well, he used to. Danny Glover bought a condo downtown Portland in the Pearl back when him and Mel Gibson were actually friends during the Lethal Weapon days. And he bought a place in the Pearl. And I told you the story. Mel Gibson bought a place in Livingston Mountain in Vancouver, or just outside of Vancouver. Livingston Mountain is like a suburb of Vancouver. It's in the mountains. It's probably like a 45-minute drive from downtown Vancouver. And it's like up in the sticks. And it was in this big house that apparently he never lived in. He just furnished it because he bought furniture from our furniture company at the time, and the Copelands are long gone. And we thought, me and another guy thought we're going to meet Mel Gibson, and actually, we just met Mel Gibson's staff, who told us to leave it on a pallet that was about half a mile from the house that we could see on a hill, and then they would come down and pick it up. I was like, man, this sucks.
Yeah, you went into that house? Are you kidding me?
Well, you never know. I went to Danny Ainge's house, and he was there.
Yeah, but Danny Ainge ain't Mel Gibson. Okay.
This is true.
Danny Ainge was a semi-famous basketball player.
At the time, at the time he was still a Blazer.
Right. So, I mean, you have to be a basketball fan to know Danny Ainge. But everybody knows Mel Gibson some way, somehow. If you say his name, oh, I know that guy. It's either from that from that fucking Jew rant to that pack of nigger rants to Passion of the Christ to Lethal Weapon and to Mad Max. Yeah. Anywhere in between, somebody knows Mel Gibson. Anywhere in there.
I like to go, Mel Gibson, the best anti-Semitic racist director that I can think of off the top of my head.
Oh, speaking of anti-Semitic, I wanted to clarify something. I texted you. I knew that Jewish people were in Hollywood.
Okay. I was when I saw that text, I was like, what?
I never realized. It's like one out of every three actors and one out of every four directors and producers are Jewish. It's almost like it's their birthright to be in Hollywood. I just that X-ray, I'm like, wait, you're a Jew. You're a Jew. You're a Jew. You're a Jew. I didn't know that. You're Jewish. You're Jewish. All wait, you too? You're Jewish? Everybody's Jewish. This is ridiculous. I haven't seen one show where there's not less than half the cast is Jewish or more.
You know what's funny? Hollywood is like, you know, they always say it, it's who you know. And shit, I gotta leave pretty soon. God damn it. I got so much to talk about. It's all about who you know. And you kind of help people when you get a spot, you help who you know that wants to get in the business.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just, that's kind of how, you know, the Jewish people, you know, just, you know, if they have a cousin or friend or another Jewish person, they have like a common ground. Hey, let me get you on. It's just like Black folks do it. Everyone does it.
Jewish people are xenophobic anyway. I mean, so.
Well, yeah, but
they're insular anyway. They're not going. That's just who they are. I mean, you marry one, you better convert.
And I'm not. It's not. I'm not talking shit or being crude. I'm just saying that you know, it is what it is. And you help people in, and you know, if they get in first and they let you in, that's just how it works. You know what I mean? It's just.
I understand, but it's so weird that you say you're not trying to be crude. This lady lost her sponsorship with Subway because 10 years ago, she saw a picture of her friend on Twitter who had her eyes kind of closed looking at the sun. And she said, and I quote, "Your eyes look Asian like that." And that was the racist tweet that got her to lose her sponsorship. I'm with some of these conservatives now. This shit's gone too far. That was not racist. That was not anti-Asian. That was a comparison remark that was supposed to be funny. You know, and me asking about why there's so many Jewish people in Hollywood, I'm sure people would think that's anti-Semitic. How? Did I say anything negative? Did I say a stereotype? No, I asked a simple question on why 80% of Hollywood is Jewish. Yeah. That's all. I can't ask questions now.
Well, here's again, we've talked about this before, but it's like I remember someone at work saying something to me, asking me a legit question about Black people. Mm-hmm. And they thought, they're like, "I'm not trying to be racist." And I was like, "Your question isn't racist. The fact that you said Black isn't racist."
Right. Exactly.
Your question is racial, but it's not racist. Yeah. I'm not upset that you're asking me this question. So it's just, and I think a lot of white folks in particular, because other ethnicities don't seem to be this sensitive about it.
No.
But because they're usually on the butt end, they're usually on the business end of racism. let's be honest. So they know it when they see it. But and we're in a like I've said this before, but we're in like a sea change. You know, there was a time, I'm sure, like our parents were the young ones when, you know, when Black folks started to actually get some rights, you know, like,
yeah,
like, you know, and they were there for, which brings me to Juneteenth, which I'll get to in a second. But, you know, Black folks were like, they're I'm sure their parents are like, or people around them of that age were like, you know, this is. I wish I could explain it better. I just don't. We're in an age Well, we remember how it used to be and how it is now, and things are just shifting. And it's like we've never seen so much. You know, when we were kids, a black president it was something. It was a fantasy.
It was a fairy tale. Yeah.
Yeah, and if you would have asked me before Obama, would it happen? I was like, it probably will, but not in my lifetime.
Exactly.
And now, not only have we had that, we have a black vice president now, and now Juneteenth is a fucking holiday. I remember as a kid being taught about what Juneteenth is, and for people who don't know, and then I have to go, Marcel, we're gonna have to put this out a day late because I have so much I want to talk about, and we're just at the ice, we're just at the tip, and
just put the tip in. Sorry.
Oh, you know what, folks? We will have a part two of this conversation. It's going to be in the episode, but let me finish on this. Juneteenth, right. If for people who don't know, it is the actual June 19th was the actual, I think it was 1865. It was the actual day that all black people were free because for about 2 years, they were still slaves and didn't know they were free in Texas because Texas
never told them.
Yeah, never told them. And, you know, there was no way of internet. I mean, you get a letter that someone wrote you 6 months ago and then and people, you know, white folks knew slavery was free, but they want to pretend like it wasn't. And that went on for two more years. And by the time marshals got to Texas and let everybody know the slavery is over, that official day was June 19th. So black people started celebrating Juneteenth, you know, and of course there's pushback from white folks like, oh, another holiday. Fuck you. Mm-hmm. We're black Americans. This is American as apple pie. Racism is America as apple pie. This is what it is. You fucking assholes. And another thing that I kind of forgot about. I remember my mom telling me this when I was a kid, and my mom was a very angry person, and she was very pro-black, so I didn't know if this was like, that sounds like Hotep stuff. Back then, I didn't know what Hotep was, but that's where I kind of put it in that category. But mm-hmm. I had no idea until as shameful as it is, I didn't know this until my early 20s that the actual origin, it's everyone, white folks love celebrating. Oh, everybody does who has veterans in their family, but loves celebrating Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
Memorial Day was kind of like Juneteenth. It was only something black people celebrated because it was how black people honored fallen veterans because white folks weren't going to do it. So they would dig up this is back during Civil War times. After Civil War times, they would dig up because they would just put the black soldiers in mass graves.
Oh yeah, I believe it. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Black folks found those people and tried to identify who they could and give them a proper burial and memorialize them on a certain day, a Memorial Day. That became a national holiday, but it kind of over time, it's like for all veterans, not just the black ones. And you know, there was a general that was going to speak, or no, not a general. I think it was some high ranking official in the military was going to talk about that. A white guy was going to talk about the original origins of Memorial Day. And the powers that be had him omit that part of his speech out of it. Like they didn't want anyone to know who didn't know the true origins of Memorial Day. Crazy is that?
But here's why. These white folks now, the older ones, are seeing white kids feel guilty for the things that their ancestors or previous relatives did that are still alive. And they don't like it because all they know is that white folks are supposed to be proud of everything. And if they're not, then they're not truly white is what I feel. But that's what this critical race theory idea is. We just don't want to, teach the bad things white folks have done.
Right.
Because that'll make the current white generation feel bad. And we can't have them feel bad. That's why we can't talk about that stuff that you just talked about. That'll make white people feel bad. And you know, everything has got to be wrapped around how white kids feel. If they don't feel good, nobody feels good. If they're sick, we sick. You know, if they're happy, we's happy. That's the attitude they have right now with that shit. And no one seems to understand it. Even the black folks like Candace Owen who are backing this stuff, you don't get it. You don't get to just say, well, in X year, you know, 500,000 black folks were killed, and then move on. Well, what happened? Oh, well, there was a race riot. Why'd that get started? Well, we can't talk about that because, you know, Becky might feel upset that her great-great-grandfather hung a couple people.
Yeah, well, folks, I have to go. It sounds like we're beating up on your wife, folks, but trust us, we're not. We're really not. We just had some stuff to get out, and I am sorry about the shorter episode, but I promise we'll make up for it the next week. I got to go. I have a couple appointments I got to meet. Marcel, I'll talk to you later. Folks, we'll see you next week.
All right, peace.